Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, we'll examine the Fourth Estate on a show about the press. Comedian John Pate returns to uncover the origin of a colloquial phrase. And singer Joey Krizman performs his bluesy folk.
Miss Van Dusen, is it true that you've been hiding cereal coupons and slush fund accounts?
What are you doing?
The ratings are in the tank, Julie. We need a good idea fast. So, being the idea man around here, I decided to switch up the format.
Oh, to what?
Like hard-hitting news program. You know, I go out in the field, I shove my microphone in people's faces, and I beat the scoop out of them.
What do I do?
You're just the talking head.
Oh, but I have legs.
Yeah, they're under the desk.
What about my arms?
Aha! Is it true that you've been illegally transporting arms?
I don't think you're supposed to badger your anchor for a scoop.
There's no one else around, so...
What about the listeners?
They tuned out 30 seconds ago.
This just in. American Parlor Songbook is going off the air.
Hold on, wait.
From the KVCR studios in San Bernardino, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Thank you, folks. And as always on the other microphone, with any luck she'll invoke spousal privilege, Julie Van Dusen. The Fourth Estate, the press, the news media, delivering the scoop to keep the checks and balances checking and balancing. Protected by the First Amendment and guided by a strict code of ethics, stopping at nothing, leaving no stone unturned, freely bringing you the unfiltered facts about whatever the CIA tells them to, or the corporate sponsors, or the political cronies. Your Murrows, your Cronkites, and your Woodwards and Bernsteins, they're long gone. They've been replaced by O'Reillys and Hannitys and Maddows and Olbermans. And it's just a clown car of pundits, right? CNN backs them up in a funny wagon, right? And they unload them into those Brady Bunch windows there on the screen. More and more and more little windows to fit all those talking heads until, well, it started to look like the Mario Kart load screen, you know? All those funny-looking characters in their boxes. And I'm pretty sure they've actually been eating mushrooms, too. My anonymous source tells me that an anonymous source told them that an anonymous source may or may not have information that confirms the anonymous source doesn't exist in the first place. And that's the news. Hacks on parade, unafraid to be swayed by the facts that pervade, throwing shade on the story portrayed, saying sorry you made a mistake, should have paid when I played. Hacks on parade.
Early days, it was on scrolls. You know, a page would run into the chamber in a hat and tights and unroll the funny toilet paper roll thingy there. Hear ye, the king hath colluded with the czars. Or maybe it was those stone tablets before that, you know.
A biblical prophet standing on the mountain. Extra, read all about it. 175-year-old man commanded to kill his own son.
Now, if I told you my source's name, he'd strike me down. Ah, you're crazy, no way. He says, yeah, way. And he strikes him down. In ancient Rome, they carved it into something called the Acta Diurna. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it means the daily public records. Onto a metal plates. They'd carve them in and then they'd tack them up on a message board at the forum, you know, downtown there, and people walk by and read them. They'd,
you know, post the outcome of the trials, the verdict, keep everybody informed, right?
In the case of the state versus Trumpus Narcissicus, the defendant was found guilty of inducing too much of a good thing in the vomitorium. Hacks on parade, unafraid to be swayed by the facts that pervade, throwing shade on the story portrayed, saying sorry you made a mistake, should have paid when I played. Hacks on parade. The biggest sea change was the printing press. It was invented by Gutenberg, right? Which was surprising because those Police Academy movies were pretty bad, right? Anyways, somewhere after the Dark Ages and before Three Men and a Baby, Gutenberg invented it. And then you could make copies of anything over and over, right? And a short few hundred years later, and it was on your doorstep every morning, right? The paper, under the milk, you know, good and wholesome, gathered by a guy in a hat with a trench coat. And he typed it up with two fingers there on the typewriter. Just the facts and a crossword puzzle. Four across, Gutenberg, inventor of the printing press, right? Five down, the inventors of AC and DC. That's easy, it's Malcolm and Angus Young, right? Soon enough, they started speaking it on the radio, right? Updates throughout the day. Before you knew it, it's television and pictures, right? And local news anchors were doling out the scoop 2-3 times a day with mustaches and lapels so wide you could take off if you ran too fast. And our national guys, you know, Cronkite, all those, they were your fatherly truth teller on the evening news. You know, once a day, the whole country all together at once, there was one singular story that came out over the wire, and then the ads came in. There was a little money involved, and then the cable news, 24 hours a day, pumping out profits, then more networks, and more networks, and less, truth, and then, well, it broke through, up into the sky, out of the boxy tube set, and democracy, right? You know, decentralization, the internet, citizen journalists, bloggers, social media. When it's everybody's game, it's anybody's game. The more exciting, the more clicks, right? Clicks are money. Money is clicks. And then the networks, they joined in, too. Well, we can't keep up with them if we don't get the clicks, so we better make it up, too. And partisan, and bias, and confirming it, and clicking, and clicking. And soon enough, as they say, and I don't think they meant the expression this way, but soon enough, no news was good news. Hacks on parade, unafraid to be swayed by the facts that pervade. Throwing shade on a story portrayed, saying sorry you made a mistake, should have paid when I played. Hacks on parade. So we're going to see if maybe we can't keep the old public radio, the last bastion of serious news this week. Okay, well, maybe a comic strip or two. Maybe a couple of lies. I might just make it all up. Singer Joey Chrisman is here. And comedian John Pate. Stick around and don't fact check me. Hacks on parade, unafraid, don't be swayed by the facts that pervade. Throwing shade on the story portrayed, saying sorry you made a mistake, should have paid when I played. Everybody, hacks on parade. Our musical guest this week is a great singer-songwriter from right nearby in the San Bernardino Mountains. Ladies and gentlemen, Joey Chrisman.
I woke up this morning to your leave, and nothing but the graveyard calling me. And I guess you found the door a long time ago. I see it's me living in the same bad dream. I wish they were in order, my affairs, but I can't even make it up the stairs. And I've tried to drink myself to death and wonder if you care. It's me living in the same bad dream. Now I'm waiting on 10 women on my mind that don't want me. And even if I wanted to, I can't change a thing. It's me living in the same bad, bad dream. You left in a hurry, now you're gone. And somewhere's in the fury, you moved on. Ain't that the pets to sit and wonder where it all went wrong? It's me living in the same bad, bad dream. I never meant to cause you any pain. I broke your heart, so you broke mine the same. And it's funny how it comes right down to things I shouldn't say. It's me living in the same bad, bad dream. Now I'm waiting on these pills to set me free. Or 10 women on my mind, a killing spree. And even if I wanted to, I can't change a thing. It's me living in the same bad, bad dream.
Joey Crisman, how about that? Beautiful song.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
From our brand new studio under siege in Toadsuck, Arkansas, this is Info Revolution with Aaron White.
Welcome to the program, Patriots. I'm Aaron White. Get ready to open your mouth and start chewing, because we've got a 10-course meal of grade A American truth coming right at you, served up hot and ready to fatten you up for the long, cold, dystopian winter. It's coming, people. It's almost too late. To head on over to our web store and load up on man powder. Muscles aren't going to build themselves, sheeple. No, you need our premium supplements to channel that rage into a gross, fat muscle body. Our house brand Info Revolution supplements are scientifically tested and have not specifically been denied approval by the FDA. So, if you're a little saggy and you don't want to let your militia down when Operation Jade Helm returns, shut up and eat some man powder in our web store now. I hope you're sitting down, people, because my next guest is going to blow the chair out from underneath you. And if you were standing on it, you'd fall even further. So sit on it. And welcome one of the most quoted people in the world. Startling revelations in every major newspaper. A wellspring of unlimited information for the first time in public. Ladies and gentlemen, Anonymous Source. Anonymous, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Aaron. It's my pleasure not to be here.
Now, for the listeners at home, seated across from me is some kind of, I don't know how to describe, some kind of a nebulous...
Transparent.
Yes, a blur... Reminiscent of what one might see after an all-night speed binge in an Alaskan ice fishing hut. Not that I have any specific personal experience.
If I may, Aaron, and you can quote me anonymously on this, I have personally seen unverified reports of you not having speed binged in a fishing hut.
You heard it here first, folks. No bingey. Straight from the invisible horse's mouth.
I can neither confirm nor deny I am invisible. Or a horse.
Of course, of course. Now, Annie, Anonymous, Annie Penny, Nanny Nanny Mousy Mouse Mouse, Anony Mouse Mouse Mouse, Anonymous, tell me straight. No chaser here, I want it straight. Just fill up that shot glass with a hard grain reality. Get me info drunk, take me out, and take advantage of me in the backseat of your Truthmobile.
All right, Aaron. Put on your plastic MAGA undies, because you're going to need to change them after what I'm about to allegedly tell you.
I've got my quotes out and ready.
On, off the record.
It goes without saying, of course.
Unredacted for future retraction.
I'm ready for it.
I have received information from an anonymous source.
We're going double meta here.
That the anonymous source...
Ooh, double anonymous.
The anonymous source who provided me this information...
They hit on me big, come on.
Is me.
You heard it here first, folks. Hand me a fresh pair of MAGA underpants because I am blown away. The anonymous source, get this, the anonymous source was anonymous source all along. It goes deep, people. And we're going to get to the bottom of it right after this. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more garbage.
Information about our musical guest is available on his website, joeycrismanmusic.com. Let's have another song from Joey Crisman.
If I get back up,
I'm gonna cut you down, Jack. You better tell someone. You better run for the gun.
Joey Prism.
Thank you.
Great song.
The ancient teletype machine chugging away in a corner, receiving the news over an old copper wire, the paper torn off and run all the way down the hall by a sweat-stained, button-short-sleeve-wearing typewriter jockey, down the hall to the talking head on the air, and then straight out through the sky and into the big fat box-shaped TVs or stacked-up component hi-fis on the radio, right? Gas shortages, shuttle launches, nuclear scares. And, well, everything waited until 11 o'clock or the morning edition. It built up and up, and then it spilled out all at once, you know, so you could happily go about your business the rest of the afternoon without having to worry about all that news. Well, the world was still the rest of the day. Dad hunched over an old Remington and Sons typewriter there, just shoulders and no head from behind, his arms like sickles with hook fingers, you know, smacking away, single-pecking out the words on the black porcelain keys there, one word at a time, and I'd lie on the bed behind him, attempting to keep pace with my own reports. Crayon headlines. Sister claims I'm not touching you. Boy appeals smelt it, dealt it, ruling. Off for publishing on the fridge there. Child labor laws stretched thin as boys were sent out into the cold streets before dawn to chuck papers at doors for slave wages. Free to earn licorice money on a banana seat bicycle with no helmet. Straight into the back of a stranger's van. No one was paying any attention at all. It wasn't any safer back then. It was just Darwinism. But the fathers, they wanted that breakfast table read, right? That fresh black ink smell over the cereal. When breakfast was on tables, not on dashboards. The old man, he worked through the week on the newswire, the night shift, right? Buttoned-up shirt, tucked in narrow-legged khakis. Even through the 70s, he refused to fall in line. You couldn't find a pair of anything other than bell-bottoms, so, well, he'd go buy a pair of bell-bottoms, and he'd snip the leg and stitch them back together skinny. For the work week, it was the button shirt and the pants, but on the weekends, he was set free, and in the summer times, he'd cut his jean shorts so short he was in danger of hanging a pocket. Or worse. It was all one big ubiquitous narrative back then, you know, uniform and made of official facts, built without minced words before the competing truths and the editorialized everything. And over a million sources, you know, straight into your pocket phone there. It was held together in that strict time slot in the box or the typesetting on the print. Nothing outside the lines to scramble our brains. Printed once and for all, no takebacks. The old man exercised his journalistic integrity fast and loose, using his press card for everything shy of jimmying locks. If we were out for a walk and passed a police line, I'd just reach into his pocket and ease out his credentials, and then, well, we'd breeze right past the line and go check out the crime scene, and no one flinched that a kid was in tow, stepping over the glass to wonder at how a car had jumped the curb into the store window there. You know, if there was a lineup, like a line to get in somewhere, there was always a side door. And, well, we didn't wait in line. Dad would just flash that press pass, and the dope at the side door would open, and we'd go in, and yes, yes, yes. Dad operated with a strict code of newsman ethics. Square two pictures fuzzed into the fat living room boxes, and they clicked from station to station. And soap was sold on weekdays, Stetson razors at night, and then Saturday. Saturday was for kids, Pac-Mans, Blue Dwarves, Talking Ducks, Space Coasters, doled out in 10-minute chunks in between the ads. And cereal, action figure, and then, a warbling theme tune. An orange sun, silhouetting a mouse, a castle in the background, and smiling kids on upside-down rides. Mom in the passenger seat unfolding the map there, just kept unfolding.
and unfolding. I think it was measured at 1-to-1 scale. It was the actual size of the world. And it would unfold so much it would block the windshield, and then we'd slap through some bushes there. We killed a rental car every summer, every July. On our way down, we would leave Canada across the border to listen to the funny accents and look at the roadside dinosaurs. We rolled into Atlantic City late one night, piled out of the wreck, hit the boardwalk for the pinball machines, and then when you gotta go, you've gotta go. So me and Dad, we found the public restrooms, right? We walk over to the big cement block building there by the boardwalk, and we discovered something so totally American to our innocent Canadian eyes. They had pay locks on the stalls. You have to pay to go. My dad pops in a dime and he jiggles the handle. Nothing. So I point at the sign. It says, the stalls are locked after 11. My dad says, I paid my dime. And out comes that press pass, right? So he slides it in the door and he jimmies the lock open and it swings wide and we go in for a couple of free flushes, right? It's freedom of the press. Until we hear the shouting, right? Dag nabbit, sloppy stomping footsteps coming towards us on the cement. An ancient janitor comes storming. You can't read the sign. It says 11 o'clock, Dag. 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. We still say 11 o'clock to this day. The roads bubbled. The asphalt was a thicker grade, crumbling along the yellow-ticked interstates, lined with off-brand motels to enter at your own random risk. I still have scars from the stray springs on those 25-cent massage beds. You put the quarter in, right, and you try to stay on like a ride. And you do the goat voice. You run out of change, and then, well, your sister hasn't gone, so you just shake the bed floor back and forth. You wake up in the morning for a diner breakfast from a waitress inevitably named Debbie. She was always Debbie. Wherever we went, it was a Debbie who was our waitress. We became convinced that it was a conspiracy, that it was the same Debbie, and she was stalking us, following us from town to town, all the way down the coast of Florida. Every year we'd go down to Florida for the summer. Off-season was cheap down there, and Dad was even cheaper. So he was willing to drown in the humid summer air just to save a Canadian winter buck. No, we couldn't spend the Christmas break basking on the beach. No, it was Florida summers with raindrops the size of watermelons. On the upside, the alligators were slower in the heat. And the parks, the amusement parks, will be empty, right? Fat chance. An amusement park parking lot is the next level of hell. The moment when a proud father realizes that his pride and joy one-of-a-kind station wagon is one of a million. Stamped out and lined in glimmering rows across sweltering, hot, mile-long walks with no way of finding your way back at the end. You have to get in a car and take whichever car you get into. Mom pulls out the magnifying glass to take a closer look at the route there. She focuses the hot sun. It burns a hole straight through Orlando. Which way, my dad says? She says, I think it was left. And Dad just cranks the wheel. He's not thinking over the median there. When we land, in slow motion, buddy-style screams through the air. We land on the other side, and we touch down at a dead stop at the end of a long line of sad family cars. Miles and miles of sad family cars. Nope, Dad says, I got this. He takes a little side road, right, past the outlands of the park, riding the prison chain fence link there all the way down, looking for an opening along the gravel. And we pull up alongside a security booth. Parking lot's that way, he says. And Dad draws out his pass, and quicker than an old West, spins it around his finger, slaps it against the glass. Where's the press office? And he waves us through. The card wasn't only good for shortcuts and lockpicks. No, it could also land you free stuff. Free stuff for Dad was gold, and he was willing to bluff for it. I'm considering writing a travel story on the park, and it's going to run across Canada. It's going to be huge. And then Dad comes strutting out of the office with a stack of passes like a kingpin, you know, waving them around. And we breeze onto the grounds, Mom, Dad, me, the sisters in tow, VIP Canadian con artist with a carte blanche press pass. We're taking over the place, right? Do you want to go on the teacups? Line? There's no line. Holds up the magic slip, and we just part right through. Press pass, press pass. We walk all the way. I wink at the poor kid with a mullet at the front of the line. Tough luck, punk. Too bad your dad isn't awesome. And his big mustache father grimaces at me, gives me a look. And, oh, wait, after that, I know the log ride. And we pass the same family again in line. The dad grows an inch taller and an inch madder, right? His innocent daughter, she looks up at him with Cindy Lou Who eyes, and she says, Daddy, Why come they don't gotta wait in line? And then we go on the Peter Pan, and the card in the air, and part the line all the way to the front, and there again, the same family, the preteen mullet kid, the Cindy Lou Who, and the dad in the Hulk Hogan shirt, and he's getting ready to rip the shirt off. I know he is, right? We see them on the benches after they're sharing a small fries. Oh, you guys paid for your burgers? These news burgers were free. Dad spreads the ketchup on with the press card, licks it off. Then there it is, the grand finale, big mamma jamma, head-shaking, stomach-turning main attraction. Now, we'd heard about it, but only in legend. An indoor roller coaster through outer space, real outer space. Oh, no, but look at that line. The park's going to close at 11. We're never going to make it. You know what to do, Dad. Reaches into his pocket. Reporter coming through. He's shaking it around. We walk through all the windy aisles there, racing the clock to the front before the last ride is going to hiss to a stop. And the last boarding, we get up to the turnstiles. Just in time there, we hop in the car. The bar goes down. The light turns green, and I look. And there on the other side of the turnstiles is poor Florida Cindy Lou Who, and she starts to cry. The ride takes off into the mountain. It greens around a corner. It dips out into the open air, and I see the Hulk Hogan dad down there. And the daughter's crying. The son's wrenching his fist at us as we go by, back into the mountain there, we're rolling around and up and down and then out the side hole there, we go out a door and there's the Hulk, he's making the throat signal cut. Dad, we're done for. We go back into the dark. All right, when this thing stopped, we make a break for it. Hands down, last till there, might as well get the fun in, right? And then the final death march, that coming into the train, and then it steams, hits the arm, lifted. Okay, go. Down the ramp, we hit the cement running, chasing us, right? Dad knows how to write. He doesn't know how to fight. He's going to get killed, right? Go. They're hot on our tail. They're locals. The heat does nothing to them. They're gaining. Sacrifice your sister. She's weak. We're running. There's the car. Dad fumbles for the keys. He trips. The keys go forward, and he's going down in like slow motion. The press pass goes up. Glints in the moonlight, spins around, and we scramble across the hood like the Dukes of Hazzard. We get in the car, hit the gas, and we drive off, you know, past the booth, the car's shutting. It's 11 o'clock, it's 11. We drive away, and as we're peeling out, I look out the back window, and I see that family there, knelt down in the gravel, picking up the press card. Their faces lit in gold, the holy grail, their eyes wide with the wonder and fortune for the golden goose lying there in the dirt. And we rode away into the muggy night, defeated, bruised knees, sore Canadian egos, all the way back to Canada with no privileges, no line cuts, hot seats, back rows, no free tours, back doors, or upgrades. Yes, it was a dark day for the freedom of the press.
All the road, all stacked up in the car, rolling south where the memories are. Hours and hours playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook here at the KBCR studios in San Bernardino, California. Now, we're happy to have our next guest back on the program again. He's a good friend. His new book, Tears of Guduhov, is available on Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, John Pate.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody being here. As people were coming in, we were listening to conversations, and it dawned on me some of the things that you hear in passing conversations are hilarious. But the ones that are the most frightening are when you hear half a conversation. You know what I'm talking about? Now, this is compounded, especially in the Deep South, as you're hearing somebody who is speaking on the phone, and you only hear the one half of the person speaking on the phone. You hear things like, Uh-huh, and so now Grandma's wanted in 4 counties. What does that mean? Another one of my favorites was, well, cheaper ain't always better. I learned that buying discount possums. I mean, come on. And then, of course, there was one of my all-time favorites. Well, if he's still yelling, you gotta unplug it. Now, this brings me to our story today from the Deep South that I hope you enjoy. I was launching my Basscraft fishing boat at Cotton Coffee's Cafe and Marina. At the very moment I roped the pier to the pier pole, Marvin, the gas station attendant, looked from one end of the boat to the other and spit tobacco into the water and said, "That boat ain't diddly squat." Now, I admit the boat was not a Princess cruise ship, but it was paid for. Needless to say, at first I was offended. My initial reaction was to walk over to Marvin and fold him up quicker than Donald Trump's White House dinner menu. And then it suddenly dawned on me that would I have felt complimented if he said that my boat was diddly squat? Which brings me to the lesson today. Exactly how did we get from there to here with any given phrase? Now, you may not give a flying rat's patootie, but some people want to know. For instance, many folks want to know the origin of the phrase, "he bought the farm," which of course means he passed away. Now, historically, this phrase originated during the Great War. Before leaving, soldiers would go off to Europe and fight, and they would take out a life insurance policy against the mortgage of their home, under the assumption that if they were killed in action, which unfortunately was the case for some, their farms would be paid off and their widows would be provided for. Now, in my investigation for the past few months, it unearthed the origin of one of my previous utterances that I am certain will impress you all. To give a flying rat's patootie. It all began in a little country store in Shelby, Alabama, owned and operated by Sadie Benson, a shotgun-length gas station and grocery emporium and local watering hole. And on this particular apocalyptic day, one that will most certainly be included in the Colloquialism Hall of Fame, Sadie sat rocking in her high-back chair, shelling pinto beans and occasionally swatting a fly. Nothing out of the ordinary to raise suspicion on this warm July afternoon. Her larger-than-life dog named King lay in the front doorway trying to catch a slight breeze and not budging for any customer with the exception of a loud thump of someone he recognized. King masqueraded as a watchdog. Most of the time, however, according to Sadie, he just watched. Now, you may find the remainder of this adventure hard to believe, as did I, were it not witnessed and testified to by Betty and Sweet Pea, Sadie's older daughter and younger son, both innocent bystanders to the horrendous chain of events about to follow. As Sadie sat sipping a bottle of Coke half-filled with peanuts, a rather large gopher rat appeared from behind the bread counter. Sweet Pea and Betty pointed and inhaled, but Sadie, with her eyes lifted to the ceiling, attempting to shake loose a glob of peanuts from the Coke bottle, did not behold the rat's regal entry. It scampered across the floor, and Betty let out a nervous, "Hi!" But by the time Sadie's eyes reconnected with Betty, the rat had connected with the inside of Sadie's pant leg. And up it ran. To make a long story a little bit shorter, the flying Coke bottle hit King in the back of the head, and pinto beans had to be cleaned out of the store shelves for the next 2 months. But Sadie couldn't have done anything different or quicker. The rat had reached the knee of the pant leg and was headed north when Sadie grabbed the polyester and hung on for dear life. Squeezing and dancing in a circle, Sadie had to think fast. Her desperate eyes shot towards Sweet Pea and Betty, who at this time were no help whatsoever, being doubled over in laughter themselves. King had long since vacated his cool spot in the doorway, and Sadie was left to fight this battle on her own. Upon quick analysis, letting go was out of the question. and attempting to back him down the pant leg was next to impossible. So Sadie did the next best thing she could. She grabbed a pair of scissors and began to cut a circle around the polyester, holding the helpless rodent. Once free from the home ship, the smaller swatch of clothing was hurled at great velocity toward the nearest wall. I need not describe the sound, but prior to impact, both Sweet Pea and Betty clearly recall the image protruding from the top of the circle of material as that of being a flying rat's patootie. Although now faded into the deep recesses of their memory, the significance of which may be lost on many of us, the incident clearly and forever will be etched into the framework of modern-day adages. I feel sure that in retrospect, were the rat given the chance to do it all over again, he would have probably settled for some oats or cornmeal. And to this day he died, King growled at Coke bottles.
We've got time for one more song from Joey Crisman.
You catapulted love straight from your blue eyes. The blood it must have rushed from your heart into mine. And I thought I'd take it all since you put it on the line. The war I waged inside of you for the last time. And you put the lust into my heart, pure as the driven snow you are. I can't ever stop now once I start. Loving you is hard. I won't tear you apart. You fell for every word that came out of my mouth. We talked just like the birds until the sun went down. The poison on my tongue, I'm sure you never knew about. The war you waged inside of me, I couldn't help myself. Well, you put the lust into my heart, pure as the driven snow you are. I can't ever stop now once I start. Loving you is hard. tear you apart.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook and for joining us here at the KVCR studios in San Bernardino. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX.
Wendell.
Find information about the program
Wendell.
On our website.
Wendell, American... Wendell.
Yes, Mother, what is it?
Take a picture of me.
What do you want about this time?
Take this Polaroid and snap a saucy photo.
What on earth for, Martha?
So I can slip it to the tabloids.
What would the tabloids want with your picture?
Saucy pic hacks, Wendell. Get with it. It's all the rage. Some pervert sneaks onto the cloud and steals your selfies.
A phone hack on a Polaroid.
You just take the picture and I'll worry about getting it into the clouds.
Why on earth would you want to subject yourself to that anyway?
It's part of the game, Wendell. I have to stay relevant.
You haven't been relevant since Truman beat Dewey.
So I'm Dewey for a comeback.
Wait a second. Was this about that gala tonight?
What gala?
Oh, come now. You were all over that red carpet.
Oh, you mean that Z-list snooze fest?
No, it was strictly A-list, top to bottom. You were the bottom.
Well, the rags did nickname me the bottom.
Yes, that was before it dropped.
I have the body of a 27-year-old.
A 27-year-old Sharpay.
I'm as taut as a pit bull.
And you bite like one, too.
Oh, that was just a little love bite.
She was only a child.
Oh, that little rat knew exactly what she was doing. She was cutting me off at the nexus.
The nexus?
The triangulated point of maximum camera axes. You divide focal length by distance by width of press pool.
Suddenly you're a math wizard.
It's Presser 101, Wendell. Get with it.
A PR idiot savant.
Oh, I learned in the studio days. And I'll tell you something. That smarmy runt never would have survived back then.
She is the delightful star of the heartwarming tale of a child and her teddy bear. You bit her in broad daylight.
All press is good press.
Does the same follow for lawsuits?
As long as the cameras show up for the sentencing.
I'll call Smarty Leger in the morning.
No, I'll represent myself.
Martha, only a fool has himself for a client.
I'm a fool for all that free publicity.
Isn't there a less expensive way to get coverage?
It pays for itself.
In citations.
Exactly. The wilder the trial, the better.
Please tell me you'll keep your clothes on this time.
Well, that judge is going to go through 3 gavels.
To what end?
Whichever one's closest.
You had 70 years in the spotlight. Don't you think it's time to go quietly into the background? Maybe have a little dignity in your golden years.
There's no dignity in anonymity, Wendell. Give me coverage or give me death.
What about a nice, a nice charity startup or something?
Oh, that's good, Wendell. I like it. We'll skim off the back end and fund a float in the Macy's Day Parade.
Or a nice page 3 snapshot of you handing a check to some needy children. How about that?
Page 3? Please, I am strictly front page. Up there on that float, chorus boys, a band, a big fan, some pasties.
I'll never understand this obsession of yours. Always in the spotlight, always the center of attention.
I'm a star, Wendell. I have to shine.
Even the sun must set, Martha. Even the sun must set.
Not yet.
Then when?
When the world stops turning.
Oh, stop the world. I want to get off. Oh,
don't be so melodramatic, you old poop. You know very well that your life would be perfectly boring without me. Without my verve, without my vigor.
Your chaos.
Exactly. I keep things interesting. Not to mention, I keep you nice and cozy in this house here.
Well.
And your taste in suits, and your truffle habit.
Yes, I do enjoy a few side perks.
Exactly. I show a few side perks, and you get a few. I keep things interesting.
And I keep them together.
Exactly. I'm chaos.
And I'm order.
So, tomorrow, I'll do my thing at the hearing, and you do the backroom plea deal with Smarty Leger. It's a win-win.
Well, you get the press.
And you get me.
Get you what?
Nothing. You get me.
I suppose I could call that a win.
And if you throw in a song, I'll give you a kiss.
Ah, a little late-night burlesque number?
No, silly. My lullaby.
Ah, of course, dear.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.